Welcome to the CRE Exchange Podcast, where we deep dive into the global trends and challenges of CRE professionals across all sectors of the commercial real estate industry. We engage with experts in the space to bring you innovative insights into industry practices, opportunities, and challenges to better inform your decisions. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a global leader in asset and fund intelligence for commercial real estate.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of CRE Exchange. I'm Cole Perry, your host and senior market analyst at Altus Group, leading provider of asset and fund intelligence. I'm joined by Omar El-Tarai, our U.S. Director of Research, and today we have a special episode for you. We're going to be sharing some of the biggest shifts and surprises from the latest edition of the CRE Industry Conditions and Sentiments Survey. Omar, it's great to be with you.
Glad to be here and really talk about these results. Before we dive into things, Cole, do you mind giving the listeners a quick recap of the survey objectives and its structure?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So this is a survey that we conduct, we being the research team, conduct quarterly across the U.S. and Canada. It's an effort to provide some insight into market sentiment, some conditions, some current and future metrics expectations, and among other things, issues affecting the CRE industry. So we conducted this particular survey between mid-April and early May to gauge opinions during the second quarter of 2024. We had more than 600 respondents from more than 100 firms across the U.S. and Canada, and these were across all CRE organization types, many different functional areas, and respondents were largely seasoned professionals. So these are folks with average years of experience of around 18 years. So a lot of good opinions here. A lot of good information.
Fantastic. And Cole, why don't we just dive in? What were some of the biggest shifts that you saw between this survey and last survey?
Sure. So one of the things that stood out to me, and this is one of the first questions that we ask in the survey, is to tell us what your current focus is. And there was a little bit of a pickup in respondents who told us they would be de-risking as their primary focus over the next 6 months. Responses were up 6 percentage points to 10%. So share of U.S. respondents who told us they would be deploying capital declined from 25% to 20% from the first quarter to the second. And the share of respondents focused on just raising capital and or managing existing portfolios did remain flat at 40%. So I think that the slight pickup in de-risking is worth noting because we saw a lot of optimism and a lot of movement in that first quarter survey. And now things have mellowed out a little bit, but I think you saw some big shifts too. What was one of your big takeaways?
Sure. I always like looking at the cost of capital questions, partially because when we launched this survey, interest rates were rising and that was really having a profound impact on the markets and really rocking the markets as a whole. And I think this has been a critical area to look at. But the reported cost of debt financing seen in the market improved on the quarter compared to the prior quarter survey across the different loan terms and rate types that we ask about, as well as across different collateral types or property types. The average all-in debt financing cost seen in the current market by survey respondents dropped by 57 basis points and 69 basis points on average for the 5-year and the 10-year debt structures. Respectively. However, much of this was really driven by responses for hospitality financing terms. That's something we don't always get, a large group of hospitality participants. And that participation, as well as the fact that they noted that the cost of debt financing for hospitality came down by 2% or 200 basis points, really moved the needle. But also, if you take the hospitality out, the overall kind of change in cost of debt, the change over the prior quarter was much less significant. It was much smaller, usually between 5 and 25 basis points. Hopping over to the equity side of the capital stack, targeted gross IRRs that are seen currently in the market and being marketed by new funds averaged 12.4% across all property types. And this is up 60 basis points from the first quarter survey results. Across the four main property types, retail, multifamily, office, and industrial, the reported average gross IRR was 12.2%. And this is up 130 basis points from last quarter. and the largest quarterly increases in reported gross IRR midpoints were really seen for self-storage and office, while the largest quarterly declines in reported midpoint IRRs were in life science and hospitality. But I wasn't the only one looking at capital. Cole, I know that you were looking at capital availability in some of these questions. What'd you see there?
Yeah, half of the equation is the cost and the other is availability, right? I thought this was a very timely observation at the time of recording. I've just gotten back from spending a few days at the Commercial Real Estate Finance Council, so talking a lot about capital cost and availability. But our survey did find some interesting things here. As a reminder, we ask folks to tell us their expectation in the next few months for where specific types of capital or how available they think they will be. And the thing that stood out to me was that debt or expectations for debt availability was way up, but down for banks. Net availability, which I think of as the sum of responses for extremely available within the next 12 months and very available, less the sum of responses for not very available or not available at all. They improved pretty big swings for mortgage REITs, 20 percentage points, 22 percentage points for insurers, 36 percentage points for securitizations. But they deteriorated rapidly for bank lenders. So they went from a net negative 5 to a net negative 33% over the same time period. So very few respondents expect banks, or specifically those regional banks, to come back to CRE lending within the next year. 44% say they expect banks to be not available at all or not very available. So nearly half of respondents. A majority of folks did tell us they expect all of the 10 sources of capital that we ask about, inclusive of equity sources, individual funds, or REITs, and big percentages of respondents, so more than 40% across all of the 10 sources we ask about, said that capital will be somewhat available. So what's the takeaway from that? I think that this signals that capital is available, but it is very highly firm, use case, and or relationship specific. Definitely something I heard over the last few days at the conference. But so I know you were looking specifically at some fund information. What were you looking at there?
Yeah, this goes into the whole kind of capital conundrum that we've been living through. But looking at target returns by fund strategy, respondents really signaled this quarter that their forward view of debt financing has increased slightly since the first quarter, which ultimately has resulted in them bringing their expectations down for the net equity returns that they expect to see, and many of them expect to deliver, right? So on average, survey participants expect all-in fixed rate financing on stabilized CRE to range between 6.7 and 7.3% over the next 12 months across the main different equity portfolio strategies. So that's Core Plus, value-added, and opportunistic. And compared to the Q1 results, expected financing costs for the next 12 months were up by an average of 35 basis points across all of these different fund strategies. This increase was accompanied by a slightly lowered equity return expectation, which we measure by the net levered IRRs, which decreased by 51 basis points on average across fund strategies and compared to the last quarter. Now, Core Plus and opportunistic funds did see the biggest quarterly declines in net levered IRRs, down by 73 and 81 basis points respectively. Q2 results really reflect this kind of like still high financing cost environment, as well as moderating equity return expectations. Those are linked. And I do think they're not, you can't think of those completely separately, even though it does come down to one's use of leverage. But in the market as a whole, those are absolutely linked concepts. But it also reveals how CRE investors' outlooks are evolving and have evolved, I would say, similarly to the broader capital markets. I'll touch on this when we at the back, but I am a little bit surprised by this, or part of this is not all that surprising, given that, it's a capital-intensive investment. And I think capital markets as a whole, whether they're in the same asset class or whether you're talking across asset classes, they are related. and there's no exception for commercial real estate. But just to see this actually come through in that data is, I think, pretty impressive. And I think it seems to intuitively make sense. So if that's the breakdown of expectations from the different fund strategies, I know you were looking at property type performance and expectations around different property sectors. What did you see there?
Yeah, you know, I think when we started this year, we had given folks kind of an overview of what we thought was going to categorize or really signify 2024. And one of the things that we mentioned was this property type divergence. And that is something that's definitely showing up in this data. Quarter one, we saw some interesting stuff where opinions about multifamily and self-storage had rapidly deteriorated. A lot of new supply coming online and folks worried about rent growth. Some of that is moderated this quarter, but I think as there's been more discussion about the housing crisis, we actually saw expectations or forward-looking expectations improve for all forms of housing, and they waned slightly for industrial. Again, I think that's a supply story, but survey participants do expect industrial to be the best performing. They expect office to be the worst performing over the next 12 months. And so the former industrial did see a notable decline in net favorability. So this is the number of respondents who said it would perform best minus the percentage of folks who said it would perform worst. So a decline in net favorability of 11 points versus the prior quarter. Net expectations toward all forms of housing, like I mentioned, remained positive and they actually improved. So net expectations were up 8 percentage points for multifamily and for senior housing. They were up 3% for student housing, and they were up 1% for single-family residential. So all of the other sectors experienced fewer than 5 percentage points in their sort of net sentiment shift, with the exception of self-storage, which actually did gain back a lot of the decline that they saw in quarter one, or that the sector saw in quarter one, and it improved 9%. A lot of interesting stuff showing up there. I think that with this interest rate environment, we're going to continue to see this property type divergence play out and a lot of the kind of structural demand issues that are plaguing certain sectors. But is that showing up in pricing? Do you have anything to share with us, Omar?
Yeah, I think the divergence is still very clear in the perception of pricing. The question that we're asking around pricing is for the property types that you are an investor in or that you lend to or that you are involved with, do you perceive this sector as being overpriced, fairly priced, or underpriced? And so I think that this has been a big issue that the industry as a whole has simply boiled down to a bid-ask spread. But this kind of like this debate over price versus value. And so this is a question that we've been wanting to kind of like monitor, and it has been shifting, right? And I think it's really been a kind of positive shift because quarter over quarter, we continue to see less perception of sectors being overpriced and more being fairly priced and even some being perceived as underpriced. But we saw that this past quarter. So across the four main property types, including industrial, multifamily, office, and retail, the characterization of current market pricing being fairly priced really has increased by 8 percentage points compared to last quarter. And despite more than half of the respondents characterizing multifamily and office as being overpriced, I think that this is overall still a big positive. However, the highest levels of reported overpricing were found in smaller sectors. So most notably land and development, in which 72% of the respondents indicated that is overpriced, as well as life science, which about two-thirds or 67% gave the same overpriced characterization. Another notable shift was really seen in retail, which saw a 12 percentage point increase from last quarter to the kind of fairly priced characterization. And I think this is probably goes with a lot of positive performance and a lot of positive news and media that has come out around retail. I would say feel as though retail is probably the hottest, oldest sector, right? Or yeah, the hottest, not new sector of 2024. And I think there is a strong case to be made that it's not just hype. right? Like that's coming through in this data as well. Finally, I would say office saw a 7 percentage point shift from last quarter to having more of a characterization of being underpriced. So 7% of the survey respondents essentially characterized office as being underpriced. And this is something that I think this is, again, kind of like silver lining. This is good to see because if office is particularly a sector that's not going to be favored for a while, or there are some structural issues to the sector that I think are going to take time to really work its way out. But the fact that some investors or some participants in the market are starting to perceive it as being underpriced, I think that means that they're starting to look at it more creatively, or that there's more of an opportunity there that makes sense, whether that's just buying cheap or maybe it's the conversion play, right? Buying to convert. But ultimately, the fact that there is a greater perception of the sector being underpriced, I think long term, that's definitely a step in the right direction. Another big question that we ask outside of pricing has to do with transaction intentions. So hopping over really to if they are planning on transacting, whether that's buying, selling, or buying and selling, or if they're planning on just holding, even though it is a soft data point in the sense that it's sentiment and it's not coming, you know, it's not ex post or after the fact. I do like seeing this shorter term or near term intention question. And overall, 80% of respondents, really no matter their size, so across the entire survey sample, anticipate transacting, whether that's buying, selling, or both in the next 6 months. This is the same as last quarter, which while we did see shifts in other expectations, the fact that there is still this kind of appetite to transact, I think is overall a positive. And I know that you were looking at a number of the priority issues. How did those rank? What did you see there with that question?
Yeah. So, you know, at the front of the survey, we ask people what they will be doing in the next few months. And the priority issues are what people will be worried about. The top issues did remain fairly similar to what we saw in the first quarter, with costs dominating near-term priorities. But capital availability concerns plummeted. So I thought this was quite interesting and mirrored what we actually saw in the capital availability section of the survey. Similar to the previous quarter, cost of capital did remain the top concern. Basically, two-thirds of respondents told us that this was a priority over the next 12 months. Insurance costs were next. This is something that we've seen plaguing the multifamily sector in coastal markets, but really it's becoming an issue everywhere. And so I'm not surprised to see that, with 6 in 10 telling us it was a top priority in the next year. Property-specific concerns did wane a little bit over the quarter. So operating costs were the top concern of 46%. That was down from 54% of respondents in the first quarter. Leasing and tenant retention was the top concern of about 38% of respondents. That was slightly down from 43% in the first quarter. The capital availability concerns saw a huge plunge quarter over quarter, 20 percentage points. In the first quarter, they were the top concern of about 60% of respondents. And now that's down to just over 40%, which I thought was extremely notable. Probably have a little bit more to share in my big takeaway from the survey. But the other thing I wanted to tell was that the geopolitical risk did continue to be a concern this quarter. So it was a top concern of more than 1 in 5 respondents for the third consecutive quarter. So we just started asking that a few quarters ago. I saw a huge spike after October of last year, and concerns remain pretty elevated. But survey covers a lot of topics. I think we've all shared, or that we both have shared, a lot of things that stood out to us. But what was your kind of general takeaway from the survey? What do you think we might see next quarter, or what really shocked you here?
Yeah, I'll start with the kind of the big takeaway is that everybody seemed to be chanting, or they bought into the narrative of higher for longer. And I think early, mid-2023, we've been hearing this higher for longer. And I think it's something that I feel as though the CRE market or as a whole seems to just be learning what the word longer is, right? It's something that it's, I think this quarter is the first quarter that a lot of the results made perfect sense in the sense that I'm like, the data is the data, but at the same time, I disagreed with some of the data. I was shocked to see that there was all this optimism coming into this year, and that, and I think the big takeaway with this quarter's results is that really you're starting to see that higher for longer play through the various survey questions. And another way of looking at that is that a lot of that Fed cut optimism has almost burnt off, and I think justifiably so. Yeah, I'm curious to see if things do change, if the higher for longer now gets reinterpreted as something super negative in the next quarter. But I think that the results from this quarter seem much more sane, right? And they seem to make a lot more sense. What was your big takeaway?
Yeah, I think I had a similar takeaway. The one thing that sort of dominated the survey or really stood out to me was that folks are still really worried about the cost of capital, but they're telling us that it's pretty widely available across certain subsectors of the capital stack. And so I think that's worth noting. The other thing is we ask a lot of questions about just what you'll be doing, right? So is that, what are you going to be deploying capital? Are you going to be transacting? A lot of people seem to be telling us yes, but we don't know to what degree, right? You could be transacting, but you would answer yes if that was just one building. I think that's really interesting. We've got huge percentage of respondents, right? You saw this big surge in optimism. A lot of that is stuck around, but we don't know to what degree that's going to be showing up in the next, say, 6 months. But I'd say that my big takeaway is that the capital availability question is really interesting. That showed up in a lot of different places. I'm just going to be interested to see what folks are going to be doing with it. So I hope that maybe we can see some of that reflected in the quarter three survey.
I was going to say, was there anything that surprised you?
Yeah, there was one thing that did surprise me, and there was a new question that we asked, I think, in the fourth quarter survey. Big hot topic in CRE is artificial intelligence. So there was a particular data point, or we ask respondents to tell us how they feel about AI. Is it going to rapidly transform the industry? Is it beneficial? Are you skeptical of it? And this quarter, I did notice that AI skepticism was dropping. And a lot of that overall drop was driven by what we'll call seasoned professionals. So just 1 in 5 CRE professionals with more than 20 years of experience told us that AI was unproven with unknown benefits. And as recently as the fourth quarter, more than half of that same cohort told us that they were skeptical of the technology's benefits. That is a pretty rapid acceptance of a technology that really has only seemed to have popped up in the news over the last 2 years. And that's a huge shift, especially for kind of older professionals and what's perceived to be a slower moving industry than some others that rapidly adopt new technologies. What I also thought was interesting is that less experienced professionals, so those with fewer than 5 years of experience in the industry, remain skeptical. So 38% of respondents told us the technology has unknown benefits for CRE. It's possible that that's a reflection of sort of their newness to the industry, not sure what the use cases could be, or perhaps it's a little bit of fear that a lot of entry-level positions in the industry could be taken by the technology. I'm not surprised to see that those who are relatively new to the industry are skeptical of the technology. But that was my big takeaway. That was an interesting question that we've asked now, I think, for the third quarter in a row. What about you? What was a big kind of surprise, or what was an interesting takeaway that you had?
Yeah, so I would say that there are still some elements of the questions. The collective responses still seem to maybe not contradict, but they don't fit in entirely nicely, right? So if you look at the fact that 80% of the respondents report that they are looking to transact, and that's the same as the last quarter, or really moved very minorly, and the question's structured in a way that it's over the next 6 months, we're not seeing that transaction intent really materialize. But the fact that the rest of the survey is now, I would say, reality setting in, so that kind of the rapid and frequent cuts from the Fed, a lot of that, the optimism that came with that, that seems to have burnt off, and reality is set in, but the transaction intentions are still quite high. And I think a lot of that was driven by the larger institutions essentially signaling that they're more ready to transact.
All right. Well, that was just one of many data points that we do ask about in the survey. And I know that folks are going to be interested to hear about many of the other questions. So, Omar, do you mind telling us how folks can access the survey results?
Certainly. So the easiest way will be to see the link in the show notes. Otherwise, you can find it on the Altus website or simply search Altus CRE Conditions and Sentiment Survey in any browser and it should pop up. But the link will take you to the survey homepage where you can find past survey results and sign up to participate in future surveys. Again, because this is a quarterly survey open to all CRE practitioners, we really highly encourage you to participate because it'll really help make the findings much more robust and useful. And as a carrot or an incentive, if you do sign up and you do participate in the survey, you have the ability to opt in and request the detailed data sets that support all the conclusions and the charts that you would find in the report. And I think that will get more and more interesting over time as you can start seeing the time series.
Yeah, excellent. And I know that since we've been doing this for a little over a year now, that we should have some good time series data to share with folks. So I definitely encourage them to participate in the quarter three survey, and we'll share information about that where we can. But Omar, I think that's all the time we've got today. I look forward to speaking with you on another episode of CRE Exchange. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the CRE Exchange podcast, powered by Altus Group. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a global leader in asset and fund intelligence for commercial real estate. At Altus, we bring together capabilities across technology, analytics, valuations, tax, and development advisory services. We are guided by bold thinking, integrity, and inclusivity, partnering with CRE professionals to maximize opportunities with exceptional service experience. Find out more at altusgroup.com.